So speak first of all about the different accents in Yiddish.
Professor Kaplan, I want to tell you my personal story. My parents came from Europe and they spoke Yiddish at home. They spoke with their parents. My grandparents spoke Yiddish to my parents. We, the Sabras, the young generation of Israelis born in Israel already, we didn't want to learn Yiddish. We saw it the language of the ghetto, something that I deeply regret today because I do understand Yiddish, but I wish I could speak it as well as my parents. But I remember my parents saying that they can go all over the world and speak Yiddish to Jewish people. And another thing they said, if I meet somebody and he speaks Yiddish to me, I'll know if he came from Galicia, if he came from Poland, if he came from France, or he came from Russia. Can you please tell us something about the different accents of Yiddish speakers? And what sort of Yiddish do you speak?
To speak first of all about the different accents in Yiddish, there are three major dialects in the Yiddish world today. Let's say in the 19th century, in the 18th century, there were many more. But basically, by about the year 1800, when one spoke Yiddish, one was basically operating in an Eastern European context. And there are three major dialects of Eastern European Yiddish. There's the Lithuanian dialect, there's the Polish dialect, and there is what we would call a Ukrainian dialect. These are the major dialects. Now, there are border cases that are linguistically very fascinating. There are combinations that one sees. And there are many ways of measuring the geography of Yiddish. The most interesting measure of the geography of Yiddish is what's known as the ichthyolect. That is the fish dialect, and this is how it goes, and this is a true story, I'm not making this up. The way in which one seasons gefilte fish is an indication of what dialect one speaks.
So that I can relate to it. I like
absolutely.
Sweet gefilte fish.
So your family were Polish Jews, right?
Exactly, because I
exactly.
like sweet gefilte fish.
That's exactly right. The people who sweeten their gefilte fish come from the southern dialects, that is Polish Yiddish, Ukrainian Yiddish, Hungarian Yiddish, Romanian Yiddish. The ones who like no sugar but add pepper to their gefilte fish, that's a Litvak. Those are the Lithuanian Jews, and it measures out with precise geographical consistency. There was nobody speaking Lithuanian Yiddish before the war who was sweetening their gefilte fish. There was nobody speaking the other dialects before the war who was adding pepper to their gefilte fish. This was a consistent linguistic indication. Now, this is, I don't know of any other language that has this kind of intimate correlation between food practices and linguistic practices, but there you have it. Now, the way that we can understand how these dialects work, now, first of all, I think that generally speaking, if I'm from America, I imagine that the way I speak to people from Australia or people from Great Britain or people from Jamaica is distinct, recognizably American. But I would also anticipate that most of your listeners would have very little trouble understanding what I'm saying. Now, it's basically the same way with Yiddish. An educated Yiddish speaker, a Yiddish speaker with any sense of the world beyond his own shtetl, most people possessed that, would be able to understand another dialect of Yiddish the way that I can understand. My wife is from Great Britain. I understand her fine, although we prefer speaking to one another in Yiddish, actually, the way that, for example, a person from Australia can understand a person from Canada. There are differences. There are differences of word choice. There are some slight differences in grammar. There are certainly some differences in pronunciation, which is the major difference both for Yiddish dialects as well as English dialects. But basically, it's the same language. Basically, everybody understands. The best ways that we chart dialectical differences is by the way you say to buy meat, kaufenfleisch. A Litvak, somebody from the Lithuanian dialects, would say kaufenfleisch. A Polish Jew would say kaufenfleisch. you would have understood each other. Nowadays, when we speak about Yiddish as a contemporary language, we're primarily speaking about Hasidim who speak Yiddish. The Lubavitch Hasidim, the Chabad movement, most Hasidim speak Polish Yiddish, Ukrainian Yiddish, or Hungarian Yiddish. The old Lithuanian dialects, accordingly, are much less well represented today. Mostly what I speak is the Yiddish that I was taught when I was in graduate school. That's a synthetic dialect, about as artificial a dialect as what the BBC World Service dialect of English is. Not quite Mamelushin. Not quite. Just a little bit of an anecdote about this. My wife and I speak Yiddish to one another, and we also speak Yiddish to our children. We had some students over, I think it was for a Passover Seder maybe a year or two ago. These were language students who studied Yiddish language with my wife, who teaches Yiddish language at Johns Hopkins, and I teach literature. So I was speaking to these students who'd never heard me speak Yiddish before, and my daughter interrupted me and said, "Tati, these students don't speak Tati Yiddish, they only speak Mommy Yiddish." So I had to adjust my pronunciation accordingly.
We are talking to Professor Mark Kaplan, a professor of the Yiddish language, literature, and culture at the Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore.